Joining us now from the world of long drive, the guy I envy every time I stand on the tee, Maurice Allen. Welcome into the Golf Shop.
Thank you for having me, man. I appreciate it.
No, absolutely. I love this. This is the kind of thing that, you know, this is the pure counter to when I get golf pros on and say, what should people be focusing on? And they're like, short game. And then I get you on and it's like, chicks dig the long ball. So, Maurice, you're having a great year. You just had the big win at the Mile High. The World Long Drive is being shown more often now than just the finals. The buildup is being shown to a national and international TV audience. What is it like for you to be part of this and to be an emerging face of the sport?
To be honest with you, it's definitely been a long journey for me as an individual. I mean, when I first started into this sport, I had never heard of it before, like most people, and then somebody told me to do it, and then to go and to become literally in the course of 6 or 7 months one of the premier faces of the sport. I see it as a huge responsibility. For me, there are a lot of people who are out there trying to do long drive, a lot of journeymen. I was one of the journeymen. So for me, the responsibility is always to give back, to grow the sport, to, you know, being the world number one right now. It's literally to leave the sport in a better position than it was when I got the number one position. So it's actually a lot of pressure from that standpoint, more so than there is pressure to perform. Long drive is a crapshoot. You never know who's going to win. It's all about a bounce. Majority of the guys are right around the same speed as far as ball speed and swing speed. So it's who gets the bounce and who doesn't. I'm definitely not one of those guys who believe I'm the best thing on the planet and there's nobody who can beat me, because that's absolutely ludicrous.
Well, Maurice, you do have the Guinness Book of World Records for golf ball speed at 211 miles an hour. So imagine the rebound off a baseball bat and double it. And your longest drive in a competition is 459 yards. So, you know, you might be one of the guys, but none of them have the world record.
Well, I have that world record. It was something I set with the fairway wood. I guess I technically still own the fairway wood record. But if you look at the Mile High Shootout, I went 223 ball speed a couple of times. Justin James went 224. So,
oh my,
211
gosh.
Was a great promotion that we did back in 2012 with Tour Edge. But right now, I mean, when you look at long drive, it is absolutely hammered full of great, amazing athletes with tremendous speed. Glenn Wilson, Justin James, Tim Berg, Joe Miller, Nick Kiefer, Ryan Riesbeck. I mean, the list just goes on and on and on of guys who can actually pump the ball over 220 miles an hour. When, 5 years ago when I first got into it, 220 was like seeing an alien or something like that. It was just something that never happened.
Well, and I like the way you said that. You said there are athletes out there. You didn't say there are golfers. So let's make the distinction for our listeners. I mean, you didn't grow up with golf, did you?
No, I mean, my dad tried to get me to play golf as a kid growing up, but I grew up as a track and field, baseball, football, volleyball, soccer athlete. And I think that was one of the big things that really plays tribute to what I'm doing today, because there were so many different sports, so many different motions, and I literally went from sport to sport to sport to sport every season. I was playing something different, and my mom used to laugh at me. She was like, oh, your spring friends are here, or your fall friends are here, or your summer friends, because legitimately I would have different circles that I travel in depending upon what sport was playing. And I think that that's helped me so much in, you know, creating a good work ethic that would allow me to catch up to golf, because most people who play golf, you know, it takes years to hone the golf swing. And for me, my coach, one of the big things he kept telling me was, you have to find a way to turn a week's worth of work into one day. And that was the mentality I went into it with, and I knew it was going to be a lot of hard work. But you see that with track and field athletes. You know, everybody is now talking about the world championships and the retirement of Usain Bolt. But in track and field, you know, every single day that you go out to that track, you're going to literally kill yourself out there, and there's nothing you can do about it. There's no easy way to get through 400-meter repeaters or 200-meter repeaters. It's just an absolutely grueling and grinding workout, and you mentally prepare yourself for it, and that's what happened with me in training for long drive and learning and understanding the golf swing. It was just a mental grind for about 3.5 to 4 years.
Yeah, I mean, it's hours of work for seconds of performance, which is very unusual.
Oh, yeah.
And you went on. You're a proud Rattler from FAMU, Florida A&M University. You graduated with a degree
yes,
in biology, and then were looking at chiropractic school and found golf? Were reintroduced to golf and long drive? How does that happen?
What happened was I was in my senior year at Florida A&M University, and my cousin, he was the athletic trainer there, and I used to hang out with them every now and again. They'd all go to Florida State's golf course, him and three of his friends, and I'd ride in the cart with them. I'd hit a ball here and there. I mean, I had no clue what I was doing or where it was going or how far it was going. But one of our friends owned a golf store, and he was like, "Ah, man, I bet you're not athletic enough to hit a golf ball." I was like, "Man, I'm an athlete. I can do anything." And I hit a 7-iron on the simulator about 236, 240 yards, and they all just dropped their jaw. And I looked at them. I was like, "What? You know, what happened?" They were like, "Are you serious? Can you do it again?" I was like, "Okay." And I kept hitting the ball, and my friend Steve, who owned the golf store, he was in partnership with Kenny Knox, who was on the PGA Tour. And he called up Kenny. Kenny came hustling over, and they were like, "Man, you've got to go try this long drive thing." And I was like, "Well, where's the tournament?" And they said, "Oh, it's in Wildwood, and you can go there." And being from Florida, I'm thinking they're saying Wildwood, Florida. No one said Wildwood Country Club, which was only 20 minutes away. I was like, "I'm not driving 3 hours for some competition, for something I've never heard of and wasting my time." I'm like, "Ah, I'm good." But ironically, that day, my cousins and those guys were playing, and I told them what happened. And they were like, "You idiot, Wildwood down the street." They stopped the middle of the round of golf. They went to Steve. They got a driver from Kenny Knox. We drove 20 minutes, and that's how I got in the long drive.
Oh, my gosh. We're talking to Maurice Allen, current world number one in the long drive, more than 220 miles an hour on the ball, and just blowing past 450 yards with his best shots. So when you picked up that first driver, was it one of these custom extra long crank type, you see the different brand, or was it a regular driver?
Man, it was a TaylorMade burner 8.5 degree tour. It was Kenny Knox's driver. I mean, it wasn't a 2 degree on a triple X shaft. And all, no, it was none of that, man. It was literally something stock off the shelf. And I remember hitting it 369 to 380 almost. But I just kept having this big, huge banana slice, which is the norm for the guy who's just starting out. Everything goes hard, right? But, I mean, I was hitting the ball pretty well, and people were taken to it. They were like, "Man, that's pretty good." I just couldn't keep the ball in the grid, and I ended up going to chiropractic school at Life University, and they had this great program where if you paid $25 a quarter, you got unlimited range balls, because they were looking at it as a stress relief for people just to have a break from the books. It was 3 miles from campus. Right. You could drive down there, and it turned into one of those things where I was like, well, a little less class time, a little more range time. So I'd go to the range for 6 to 12 hours a day, man, sun up to sun down, just trying to get this long drive thing going, and ended up, you know, leaving school because of it. But it was a really good decision at that time.
Well, Maurice, I've always known chiropractors loved golfers because we make very good customers. I didn't know that chiropractors loved golf. That's a great deal to get out there unlimited range balls while you're in school. I mean, I don't know that I'd have studied at all either. I am curious, as the transition is made, though, from school into doing this really as a job. I mean, you're obviously spring loaded as an athlete, and you don't have to be modest. It's just you and I, and probably my dad listening. You are obviously a spring loaded athlete. I wonder, had you gotten into golf and maybe played competitive golf growing up, would this be something that maybe you didn't fall into because you would have had that swing and all the lessons and all the craziness, rather than just say, "Hey, grab this thing and hit this other thing with the end of that thing." Did that
as
probably help you?
Yeah. I believe, you know, what happened is I went through quite a few club builders and coaches before I found the happy median and team that I have now. And I believe you're right. If you look at it, if I had started, you know, as a junior golfer and played and things like that, there would have been so many things to restrict my swing or try to get me to look like the textbook golfer and things of that nature, and I think that would have been really detrimental to my length as a long driver. I think I probably still would have been long for a golfer, but definitely nothing in the long drive realm, because they would have put a regulator on me, you know, slow it down. And now when I play competitive golf, it's a little different because I hit up on the ball so much, so everything goes wicked high. but I definitely have no problem cutting over dog legs, which is fun. But it, you know, playing in the wind and having to flight the ball down, that's definitely an issue for me. But I think if I had played earlier, it would have been the other way around. It would be hard to throttle up and try to get something going on the ball.
Yeah, but you right now, you don't aspire to be a professional golfer, do you? I mean, you when you play, it's part of it. Oh, you do?
Believe it or not, man. I'm a 0.7 handicap. I got my handicap down from 14 to 0.7. I played in the U.S. Open qual this year. Had a few issues on the back nine, but I was running it really well until I got to the back nine. I think I was one under or something like that. I mean, I actually play fairly decent golf. Play on a few mini tours in Florida during the winter season when I'm not in long drive. I can't honestly. I know it sounds crazy, but when long drive's over on the sixth, I'll take a week and a half off, and then I'll jump right back into stroke play 2 weeks later.
All right, so don't tell me you have problems flighting the ball. If you're a 0.7, you are a nasty good golfer, and I love that you came to it later in life because that it is possible to do that. I mean, not everybody grows up in a community that embraces golf. I mean, I mean, I played occasionally with my dad or whatever, but I was busy with other, you know, I don't want to say real sports, but I was busy with other things, let's say.
It wasn't cool. The chicks didn't dig the golfers. That's what it boils down to. Everybody knows that when you're middle school, high school age, you do whatever the ladies like, and none of the ladies draw towards the golf guy.
Yeah, I mean, just the khakis alone were just repellent to the women. Yeah,
exactly. Golf clothes weren't even cool back then. Now, at least golf clothes are kind of cool. You can wear them a little different or something like that. But, you know, back then it was pretty much the khaki or the black pants, and then you had the really terrible, heavy knit shirts and stuff like that. They weren't the nice form-fitting shirts and stuff like that like they are now. So, yeah, it was definitely different back then.
Yeah, hard to look cool in that stuff. So tell me, as you know, you're going to take a little time off and return to your preparation and playing a lot of traditional golf. What's the plan? What's the plan for Maurice? We've got about a minute left. What's next for you?
Well, my plan is to try to grow the sport of long drive, do as well as I possibly can at world championships, go out there, hit some balls in the grid, hit them hard, let the chips fall where they may. And then after that, I'll start playing golf. Let's, you know, see if I can do like a Latin American qualifier or PGA Japan or something like that. And just kind of see what happens, see where I can take this thing.
Well, Maurice, we would love to have you back on to talk more about this. We didn't even get into the finer points of it. You're just such a fascinating story. Well, I want to hear more about you, and then I want to geek out a little bit on how this whole thing works, the physics and the science of it, if you'd be willing to join us again at some point.
Sure, anytime, man. I'd love to.
All right, awesome. Well, thank you so much for joining us, and good luck. I'm excited to watch the trajectory of your career.
Hey, thanks so much. Remember, on Golf Channel, September 5th and 6th, it'll be on in primetime, and you'll see the World Championships. We'll crown somebody the champ that day.
That'll be you. I'm putting my money on you.
We'll see what happens.
All right, take care, Maurice. Thanks.